Because that's the bottom line.
It's week 17 in the NFL. Welcome into the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast. Dan Aaron Dennis along with Bearman.
Hey, buddies.
In Richmond, Kentucky, Brad Taylor from ESPN 1300. Welcome in, Brad.
Hello. How do you always know I'm in Richmond? I could be anywhere, for all you know. I could be in the desert. I could be on the North Pole. I could be anywhere here on this wonderful Festivus Day.
You haven't noticed the GPS tracker on your vehicle yet? That's weird.
Really?
That was kind of obvious.
By the way, that's another story for another day. But I've been followed too much in my life. I just need to spend the rest of my life just relaxing in anonymity. Much like you guys do, except I do it on purpose, and you guys are trying for the opposite. And that's okay. It's just the way of the world. Back to you.
Cheap shots on Christmas Eve. How unlike you. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. How very much like you.
It's Festivus. Brad. It is Festivus for the rest of us. It's time to air out your grievances, guys. Do you have any grievances before we get started?
Ooh. I got a lot of problems with you people.
And now we're going to hear about
it. How long is this podcast going to be?
Do you have one grievance to give out here on Festivus? We can't do feats of strength, unfortunately, but I can smell you guys from here. However, we can talk about our airing of the grievances. So go ahead, guys. Do you have a grievance you'd like to air?
No matter how good things go for Brad Taylor, it's still a little woe is me.
What?
I'm glad I let you go first.
Why? What are you talking about? What have I done now?
My grievance is no matter how I try to explain myself to Brad, it's always the same verdict. It's always the same doctor's orders from Brad. He's got me figured out, and there's no way out of it.
What in God's name are you people talking? What in God's name are you people talking about?
Let's get to the game.
Exactly.
My grievance with Dennis is
terrible gift giver.
Well, no, he forgets to put his bets in, and then he's mad when he loses one and we win five. And it's our fault somehow.
It's not your fault. I would never be serious about that.
Yeah, right.
Let's get to the recap.
There he goes. He just did it.
I'm never betting again. I'm just going to bring
you down.
You
would make
down.
A terrible god. I'll tell you that, Brad.
When you're walking, a tuba is sounding in the background. Yeah, exactly.
Nice. You do that pretty well.
Well, I've had a lot of practice.
Because of your woe is me lifestyle?
Why? What is this? Well, I have said nothing for the woe is me lifestyle. Recap.
Got him.
Recap.
What's the recap there, Bear Man?
We actually had two pushes this week. And both of them were lines that changed quite considerably throughout the week. So a profitable week for sure. I finished at the bottom, 7-7-2, but my best bets were 2-1. Dead Air Dennis finished at 8-6-2, but his best bets were 1-2. And Brad Taylor at 9-5-2, and his best bets were also 1-2.
Hmm. Oh. Interesting.
That's a good week.
What about the games where I changed my picks at the end of the podcast?
1-2.
1-2?
You should have stuck with
them. Oh, that's right, because that's, yeah.
Yeah, you should have stuck with them.
Well, it's an experiment, man. This is all about, there's some experimentation going on here too, right?
Dennis is the only person I know their due is a realistic reason to side with a team.
No, I don't use that as, no, that's false. Sorry, I mean, I know you guys want that to be true, but
no. How many times have you been? Well, they went over on Sunday. They're going under on Monday.
I've done that a few times, but yes. That's not what I do on 100% of the time. That's so. You guys are so weird, man.
Sounds a lot like "woe is me," if you ask me.
Brad's never gonna let that.
Nobody would know it better than you, Brad.
2-11. What happened to that 2-11 week Brad had a while back? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that again. Couldn't stop talking about that for 3 months. Back back to you.
I gave you props a week or two ago of how well you've done since the two and whatever week.
We both have. Forget, move on. Just move on.
This is the woe is me because he can't let it go.
Yeah.
We talked about the fact, and he can't let it go.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Week 17 in the NFL.
Two regular season weeks to go. This is depressing.
But boy, we've seen some great games, have we not? I mean,
unbelievable.
That 2-point conversion for Seattle was one of the craziest things I have ever seen in my life. I'm trying to think the comeback for the Patriots over the Steelers.
The comeback from the Bears. The Bears. 2-point conversion that didn't count for Detroit.
Yeah. Just exhilarating games.
Yeah.
Exhilarating games. And the Bengals finally actually played a decent game.
Whoever wrote the script this year, they did a good job.
Yeah.
Very movie worthy.
And this week should be no different. And I believe Brad is here with the Christmas slate to begin. Week 17.
I am, but before we get started, let's give an homage to our friends in the desert at the Circa Resort and Casino. They also have Circa Sports Kentucky, the best sports betting app there is. Go download it on your smartphone today. Go to circasports.com for more information. The highest limits, the lowest holds, the best customer service, whatever you're into, props, futures, live in games, sides, totals, money lines, they've got it. And invariably, they've got it at the best number that squares like you and me can long term, hopefully, make a profit. So make sure to sign up today, circasportskentucky.com. And yes, even at Christmas, if you have a problem gambling, call 1-800-426-2537. And yes, kids, don't sit at the Christmas table making bets unless you're 18 years old. Then feel free to bet your parents' money all down the drain. Back to you.
No, back to you.
You got the first game, Brad.
Let's go to the next games, and let's start on Christmas Day. I remember when it was used to be just the NBA on Christmas Day. The NFL saw it. They said, you know, we could make a lot of money by playing on Christmas Day, and now they have taken it over, and here we go. Division battles all three games on Christmas Day. And the first one, at 1 o'clock Eastern, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are out of the playoffs, but somehow they are 7-point favorites over Marcus Mariota and the Washington Commandos. Total 50.5, Christmas Day football, guys.
Do we know who the quarterback is right now for the Commanders?
Josh Johnson.
Marcus Mariota is starting this game.
Is he starting?
He is starting this game.
Well, they just activated somebody, another guy, that a name from the past. So I figured Marcus was not going to play.
Okay. From all the action I have, it looks like that, all the information I have, it looks like Mariota is playing, unless Joe Theismann and Billy Kilmer will be playing for Washington this week.
I don't think Joe Theismann wants to play anymore.
No. I think he's done. Go ahead, Bear Man. Give your analysis. Let's go.
What was the line on this game, Brad? Sorry.
7.
Washington plus 7. Oh. You know, I really expected a bigger game out of Washington last week against Philadelphia.
So you're saying they're due?
Yeah, so the fact that they're due, division game, they're at home, Chicago, or the Cowboys are on the road. They don't care anymore. Yeah, what the hell? Give me the Commanders in a game that I won't bet in real life.
Yeah, I was going to say, this one doesn't sound like a very fun game to bet. If Marcus Mariota is out and Josh Johnson starts, I'm taking the Cowboys minus 7. However, if Marcus Mariota starts the game, I'll take the Commanders plus 7.
You kind of have that same mentality on that one.
So just whatever you have to do if you're serious about that game.
So for the sake of the podcast, you're taking...
For the sake of the podcast, I'm taking what I just said based on who's starting.
Doesn't count. I'm writing you down for Washington.
It's fine.
That's what the thought of Marcus Mariota starting. Brad?
Give me Washington, division home dog. Of course, I'm getting a touchdown. Of course, I'm going to take Washington in this one. But as Phil Collins said, I don't care anymore. That's the way the Dallas Cowboys look at this. Divisional under. It's a good one here, this one. Divisional game, outdoors, looks like some wind. Good spot for an under if you ask me, but I will take Washington, of course, the home dog in this one. Let's go to 4:30 Christmas Day A game we thought would be a huge one early, but nah, not as much now. Detroit and Jared Goff. They're on the road in Minnesota, but no J.J. McCarthy, it looks like. It looks like he's going to be out in this one, so we don't know who's starting right now for Minnesota. Lions now, 7.5-point favorite, total 43.5.
These games are so hard to pick on a Tuesday before, even though the games are just 3 days away. Still, you know, you're looking at quarterbacks changing, injured. Everybody's all busted up. The Lions have been just one of the worst teams this season as far as having a talented roster and not being able to and putting up numbers. And the defense has just fell through. And their defense has been on the mend, too. The Branch guy has been back for a couple of games. They're just a really hard team to figure out this year. And Beer Man might have nailed this when he said the fact that Ben Johnson is gone, but it still doesn't explain the defensive woes.
Well, Aaron Glenn is gone.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. Good point. God. I'm taking the Lions. Give me Detroit.
The hardest part, like, I'm still in the ESPN Pigskin Pick'em contest. I'm like 93rd, I think, in the country.
Mm.
Seven or eight games back from first place.
Incredible.
To me, these 2 weeks are the absolute hardest because you don't know who gives a damn when they're out there playing. And to me, this is one of those games where they're a divisional rival. So you would think that Minnesota's like, well, we beat them earlier this year. Can we beat them again just to mess up their season? Or do they go out there going, we don't even know who our quarterback is right now. Let's just phone this in and get ready to take our vacations and enjoy Christmas. So these, to me, are some of the toughest games of the year. I'm going to take Detroit because everything means something to them, whereas it doesn't mean much more than the rivalry for Minnesota. They could come out and play hard, but why? You know, I know people are playing for jobs, but the guys that matter are not playing for jobs. I'm going to take Detroit here to cover and win by a decent amount. Brad?
Give me your tired, your poor, your weak. It looks like Brosmer is going to start again for the Vikings. Yikes and away is all I have to say about that. But I'm still going to take him getting 7.5. Hold your water. You may be able to get a little more than that as the week goes on. Another spot I was really looking forward to taking Minnesota with McCarthy. I'm not so much excited now. Total here, 43.5. Might be a decent spot for a division under. But yeah, I'll take the Vikings getting the points in this one. But I don't know if this is a Mac Daddy Stogie now. Let's go to another interesting game, Christmas night in Kansas City. Before the season started, this was looked upon to be a classic battle. But now, the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix are traveling to Kansas City, and we don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. Broncos, 13.5-point road favorites in Kansas City, and a paltry total of 36.5 Christmas night.
Again, means the world to Denver, doesn't mean anything to Kansas City. And like you said, who's going to be the starting quarterback? Minshew didn't tear his ACL, but his knee is still messed up a little bit. I don't expect him to play. They signed some guy that, as much as I follow football, I wasn't overly familiar with the name. It's going to have to be a defensive game. Where does it matter to Kansas City? I don't get that. I'm going to take KC just because it's a huge spread. But again, I will not be betting this game in real life. Dennis?
Wrong again. It's going to be the potentially the final home game at Arrowhead for Travis Kelce.
True.
Taking the Chiefs. It's too many points in a division game, and I know the game doesn't matter, obviously. But how much does it matter to the Broncos?
They could be one seed.
I know they could. Yeah. I know that there's a thing there, but you know, Brad,
give me your tired, your poor, your
weak.
You
already said that speech. Give us another tired and poor speech.
Give me your tired and poor, and your weak. Kansas City. I don't care who the quarterback is. It could be Steve Buschel. It could be this Salatican guy or whatever he is. I don't care who the quarterback is. Go give me two touchdowns at home on a holiday in a division game. Gimme. Give me the Chiefs getting 13.5 here. That total, man, I really wanted to go under that. But when you see 36.5, man, that's tough to go under. But I will take the Chiefs in this one. Let's now go to Saturday of this week. And a big one in L.A. It's the Chargers and Justin Herbert. 2-point home favorites over Houston and C.J. Stroud. 39.5 your total here.
I like the Texans' defense better. I like the Texans' offense better. Marginally on both accords, but I like the Texans on the road to take this one. I think they're still hot. I think they're. I think the Chargers have been a little fortunate in these last few games. Granted, they're playing incredible football, especially with Justin Herbert's hand. But and Herbert himself needs to be credited for a lot of these wins. But I'm taking the Texans in this game.
You were talking about what it meant for Denver in the final week, the Chargers and Denver play, which could determine the division. So they're only a game apart. This is one of those where it means the world to the Chargers, because if they lose this and Denver wins, then they have no shot at it.
But they'll know if Denver wins from the day before.
This is true. Mm-hmm. But the Chargers have to win either way, is my thing. If Denver loses, they obviously have to win. If Denver wins, then they obviously have to win. I'm starting to buy into Houston's defense.
Yep.
That is absolutely.
It took you so long.
It took me to week 17. But I don't have faith in their offense. I don't have that much faith in their offensive line. If this game was in Houston, I would lead toward the Texans. The fact that it's in LA, I'm going to lean toward the Chargers in this one. And, I have a little bit more faith in the coach there. So I'm going to go with the Chargers minus the two.
I don't know that Woody Marks is going to be playing running back for Houston. So it's either going to be Nick Chubb and or somebody else. So it's a little bit of a concern. But, I mean, you can't argue with what they've done with their receiving core there. Nico Collins, obviously very, very good. But, you know, a couple of other guys, including a Christian Kirk. Is it Christian Kirk? I'm confused with somebody.
I think he's there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you gave us the under on that game, but that would be the direction that I would certainly lean in this one.
39.5 is your under. And so a lot of people have kind of agreeing with what you're thinking there, Beer Man. However, yeah, I love Houston here. Give me Houston getting the 2 points in this one. Total here, I don't think I'm going to touch it. But yeah, Houston right now, you look at for odds to win the AFC. They're still a little bit under the radar here. That would be a nice little pizza money type prospect of future, if you know what I'm saying. Let's go now to Saturday night. Get the fever with two teams who don't know the quarterbacks this week. Jordan Love, we don't know if he's going to play this week for Green Bay. We also don't know if Lamar Jackson is going to play this week for Baltimore. Currently, though, Packers 2.5-point favorites, total 40.5 in this one.
I thought Green Bay played a great game against Chicago, and then the last 5 minutes, I don't know if it was Chicago just elevating or Green Bay falling apart, but everything about Green Bay looked really, really good. Baltimore, it's not their year, and it's stunning that, every time you think, oh, this is where they catch Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh pulls out a win that they probably shouldn't have, and Baltimore loses a game that they shouldn't have. I'm going to take Green Bay right here to cover at home. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be, but that's the direction that I'm leaning. It could easily change if Lamar's in. But if Lamar's in and Love's in, I think I'm still leaning Green Bay.
Yeah, I think I'm taking the Packers in this game, too. Snoop Huntley will probably be the quarterback for Baltimore. There's no reason to put Lamar out there with his injuries. I don't look for Jackson to play in this game. Derrick Henry will be out there, but, you know, and the defense for the Ravens, much maligned. Packers defense isn't the same, of course, without Micah Parsons, but they're still better than the Ravens defense. Give me the Packers.
Give me the Ravens, of course. It is going. I don't think it is Lamar Jackson this week. I think they're saving him for next week when it's loser leave town for that division title. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him sit this week just to make sure he sits. However, yeah, I'm going to take the points here with Lamar. John Harbaugh as a dog in his career. He's 0-2 this year, but in his career, 59%, 46-34. I'll take the Ravens in this one. Let's go to the next game. We're finally at Sunday. Go ahead.
Real quick, Brad. If Pittsburgh wins or Baltimore loses, then it's determined. Pittsburgh's up two games with 2 weeks to go. So next week, not necessarily as loser goes home.
Okay. Let's go to Sunday.
Baltimore would have to win out and Pittsburgh would have to lose out.
Correct.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brad.
Okay. Sorry that I didn't know that 100%. So thank you.
I'm sorry, too.
That's a woe is me comment. Sunday, the mighty Cincinnati Bengals are touchdown home favorites. 7-point home favorites over the Arizona Cardinals and Jacoby Brissett. Bengals by 7, total big 53.5.
I love the over. I mean, you know, why not? With the Bengals defense and the Bengals offense, you know, probably the safest bet on the board. The Bengals look great against Miami. They looked like they, you know, should have looked in a lot of ways all year. The defense had a great second half, an incredible, a historic third quarter. I think they had 3 takeaways in the third quarter and put up, I don't know how many points, 21 points or something. So it was an incredible third quarter for the Bengals. I don't know that you can factor that into this game, but the Cardinals have been so woefully bad week after week after week. I would have a lot of trouble taking them. The Bengals back at home. Yeah, I'll take the favorite here.
You know, Joe Burrow came out after they were eliminated and was basically still like, yeah, we don't care. We want to win. We're going to play. And it was obvious in the Miami game that that's the direction that they were going. I think they're going to go the exact same direction in this game, and they're going to be like, you know what? Let's at least pour on the stats, maybe try to get a person or two a bonus. But Cincinnati's still playing for whatever reason. I hope to God nobody important gets hurt. But I'm going to take the Bengals to cover the 7. Brad?
Wrong. Give me the dog. Of course you're going to give me Arizona on the road against a lousy defense. Yeah, give me Jacoby Brissett to put up some numbers in this one to keep this one close. Love the under here, mainly because Dennis Dillon said it was the easiest bet on the board. Wrong again. Might be some weather in this one. And, of course, we're always looking for the big unders. With these 53.5, you always like to go under in a spot like that. Yeah, I'm going under the total, Arizona and Cincinnati. I don't want to call it easy, but it's one of my favorites of the week. Now let's go to Carolina. Bryce Young and the Panthers are at home, but they are 7.5-point home dogs to Seattle and Sam Darnold, 42.5 the total.
Carolina's played really good at home. Seattle's just played really good, you know, week after week. Away, they're still 6-1. Carolina 5-2 at home. You know, Carolina can't really play with a lot of fire here because they control their own destiny. We'll see if that's going to stick. They do have the Buccaneers in the final week, so I don't think this game matters that much to them. Next week is the one that matters more than anything. So believe it or not, I'm going to take Seattle because Carolina, I think they're going to play a little light, knowing that next week will determine the division. They're still good either way.
Carolina 5-2 at home this season, and Carolina took care of the Rams in Seattle's division earlier this season with a surprise victory. I'm taking Carolina plus the points.
I'm taking Carolina plus the points as well. Bryce Young, I can't believe he's still in the league, to be honest with you. But he has been decent, and as this team has been decent. Total here, yeah, maybe some weather. We'll keep an eye on that. But it's tough to look at the weather stuff on Tuesday for a Sunday game. But, yeah, keep an eye on the weather. But I'll take Carolina the points. Let's go to Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders and the Browns are 3-point home dogs to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. 33.5 your total. These guys couldn't score in a women's prison with a fistful of pardons.
You know, just when you think Pittsburgh is not dead in the water, but going to allow Baltimore to catch up. I mean, they beat a Detroit team that was desperate, and Detroit played their heart out, and Pittsburgh just handled business. Shedeur Sanders as the starter, and the line is only 3.5. Pittsburgh can wrap up the division this week. I think they do it. Give me the favorite once again. It just means more to them.
This is such a hard game to pick because these teams historically battle each other and take a lot of pride in who wins. I mean, there's only, a couple hundred miles between these two cities. So there's a great animosity between the two teams historically. And the line looks fishy to me. I really think I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns and the 3.5. And Brad, don't say anything about the hook, but go ahead and tell us everything else you have on your mind.
The hook will bring you back. What?
Dick.
There is no 3.5. It's 3.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I wrote down 3.5.
33.5 is your total.
Okay.
But 3 is the betting line.
My bad.
But, yeah, I'm going to take Cleveland here. Also, you look at that total, 33.5. I'm still going under in this one. It's one of my favorite bets of the week. Another weather game, a divisional under here. Yeah, I'm going under 33.5. Do we really think Pittsburgh's going to put everything into this game? I'm not so sure with everything they've got going on and next week and everything. Give me the under here. I like that one a lot, but I'll take Cleveland to the points. Let's go down to Tennessee. Cam Ward and the Titans are at home, but they're 2.5-point home dogs to Tyler Shuck and the Saints. Saints 2.5-point favorites, 39.5 the total.
Tyler Shuck ended up on the radar for Rookie of the Year after last week's performance. Saints are playing better. He gets better every week. Titans are coming off the big high of beating Kansas City last week. Give me the Saints.
I love the job that Kellen Moore has done down there. It's been a process, but you can see that team getting better and better every single week, especially Tyler Shuck. Yeah, I'm going to take New Orleans. Tennessee just doesn't have anything, and that's the easiest way to put it. But they beat Kansas City, but it was obvious Kansas City didn't give a damn. So, yeah, give me New Orleans in this one.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of New Orleans right now. But Tennessee, I like them to win this game straight up. And if they do, I'll be very happy. 2.5, I'll take the 2.5. But this is a nice spot potentially for a money line, if you ask me. Tennessee coming around, kind of, sort of, if you can put it that way. I do also like the wind, total here with some weather down in Nashville in this one. 39.5. Yeah, Tyler Shuck's playing well, but you notice those games are against the Jets and some other lowlifes. Give me Tennessee and the under in this one. Let's go to another game in Florida. Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bucks. 5.5-point road favorites over a team that really looks like it's mailed it in. The Miami Dolphins, and right now we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. 5.5 Tampa, 46.5 the total.
Is there something wrong with Quinn Ewers that I don't know about?
We don't know what's going on with him. I think he had some issues last week. Will they put Tua back in? I don't think so. I don't know what the deal is going to be, but he is. The Vegas official rotation says we don't know who the quarterback is yet.
I don't think Ewers played that bad against the Bengals, really. The first half of the game was still relatively close. He looked decent. He didn't really have any major mistakes. I think he threw – how many picks did he throw? I think he might have thrown 2 picks. Don't have it in front of me. The Buccaneers have been such a disaster after the first half of the season. It was just a few weeks ago when people were raving about, oh, this is a bet you got to get in on now, man. What's his name? Quarterback.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, you know, most valuable player of the year, you know.
Yeah.
And that was just 3-4 weeks ago. So here we are, you know, and the team has fallen. I think they've lost 3 or 4 in a row. Did they win last week?
They lost last week to Carolina.
Yeah, it's just been a...
I said Carolina, but that's not right.
They've just been free-falling since the midway point of the season. Give me the Buccaneers to win this one, though.
Yeah, they lost to the Panthers there. I'm going to take Miami in this one. No real reason, but like Dennis said, what is wrong with Tampa Bay? They started out hotter than any team. Emeka Ebuka was a shoe-in for Rookie of the Year. Baker Mayfield was in the MVP conversation. And now you're like, you're not even in the playoffs if they started today, and we've only got 2 weeks left. I'm going to take Miami right here, especially if Ewers is playing, just because I think they're actually going to play to see what they have in him. But I could change my mind if Quinn is not in. But I'm going to take Miami getting 5.5 at home.
I will take Miami getting 5.5 at home here. We love a team. Second week back-to-back playing at home. And they came off the first week where they just got blown out of the water. And that was embarrassing last week, how they lost to the Bengals. If they have anything, they're going to try this week at least against Tampa. And like you said, that loss against Carolina this week, it's very head-scratching what's going on there. I'll take the points with Miami here big time. Let's go now to Indianapolis. Old Man River is starting this week, apparently, for the Colts. But he's at home, and he's a 6.5-point home dog to Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Total 48.
I hate how many home teams are dogs this year, because that usually doesn't bode well. You typically have a lot of home teams that will cover in these kind of games. The thing that scares me is I don't think there's a team hotter than Jacksonville right now. I mean, you thought it would have been a game against Denver, and they come out and just beat the Dickens out of them. The only
Dickens.
Thing...
Dickens, huh?
Yeah, you like
the Charles Dickens?
Yes. What was me? The only reason for pause is the fact that this is a divisional game. I would hope that this would go to 7 as opposed to 6.5. But for the time being, I'm going to take Jacksonville, even though it's a divisional game, but I could easily change my mind on this one.
Jacksonville's been really hot lately. How many games in a row? How many? Is this 6 in a row. 6 in a row now for Jacksonville. And I'm trying to pull this
Not
up.
Just 6 in a row. 6 in a row that they've beat people up.
Yeah, they've been taking it out on teams. And they beat the Colts 6 out of the last 8 games those two teams have played in these last couple of years. I'm going to take the Colts in this one. Phillip Rivers looked pretty good on... That was a Monday night game, wasn't it? Was it a Monday night game?
Phillip Rivers played Monday night, yeah.
Phillip Rivers looked really serviceable, and despite the pick 6 that he threw late in the game against San Francisco, I'm taking the Colts. And Brad, I know you are too.
Old Man River! Yes! Give me Old Man Rivers! A team off a big loss last night. It didn't feel like it was a big loss, but it was. And Phillip Rivers, yeah, he's old, but he can cover 6.5 against the Jaguars, at least we hope. Division dog, I will take them in this one. Getting the points. Now let's go to the...
I mean, you got to say they're due, right? I mean, they lost 5 in a row. Jacksonville's won 6 in a row. Yeah. They're due, right, Beer Man?
Absolutely.
Okay. Something's got to give.
Oh, Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton film.
Go ahead, Beer Man, sorry.
For a second, I was like, how is Indy still not eliminated? But they're 2 games behind Houston for a wild card. That's their only shot.
Mm-hmm.
Next game, Drake May and the Patriots. 13.5-point road favorites in New York against the Jets. We do not know who the quarterback for the Jets will be yet. 13.5 the line, 42.5 your total.
Patriots, Beer Man. I mean, the Jets are just terrible. I'm taking the Patriots. You can tell me it was 15.5, and I'd still take them.
I was trying to see what the Jets did last week. They got blanked by the Saints for the most part. Yeah, give me New England. They got to stay ahead of Buffalo in this division. I think they play again next week, if I'm not mistaken. Give me New England.
Give me your tired, your poor, your weak. Of course I'm taking the double-digit dog New York Jets. I don't care if Richard Todd is the quarterback or Ken O'Brien or Joe Namath. Today, I'm taking the Jets getting 13.5 at home in a divisional game. Excuse me. And look out for that divisional under coming up as well. Now let's go to the 4 o'clock games. The New York Giants, Jackson Dart. They're on the road in the desert against the Raiders and Geno Smith. What a game. Raiders, 0.5 favorites, total 41.5.
I'm going to go with the home team here. Pete Carroll trying to play for a little bit of pride. It's embarrassing how poor of a job he's done with this team this year. I mean, Geno Smith was playing good ball before he got here. Brock Bowers was playing good. Mason Crosby was playing good. These guys are playing so-so, but the Giants are worse. So I'm going to take the Raiders at home in this game.
The Giants have lost 9 games in a row. Wow. Wow. That's epic. Yeah, that's the longest losing streak, and it's not even really close. Someone has lost. Who did I see lost? The Cardinals have lost 7 in a row. So we're predicting then that the Cardinals lose 8 in a row and that the Giants lose their 10th in a row. I think I'm with you on this one, Beer Man. Pete Carroll, obviously a better coach. Probably has the better quarterback. Certainly, I would think so. The defense is 50-50. You know, just neither one of these teams have anything to play for.
Well, that's not completely true because they both have 2 wins on the season.
Yeah, I understand that. I know.
Has probably got the first pick.
Yeah. Give me the Raiders.
I've got no reason to live. That was a great thing from the Conan O'Brien show from 25 years ago. But it's both these teams, and I'm taking the Giants here. Give me the Giants. You're tired, you're poor, you're weak, and he's a road dog. I'll take the Giants here in this one. But yeah, it's kind of like a fixed fight. First punch, the other team's going to go down. He's going to go down hard and not even care anymore. I'll take the Giants, though. Next game, Eagles, Jalen Hurts on the road in Buffalo against Josh Allen. Defending Super Bowl champions, road dogs. Buffalo, 1.5 favorite, 43.5 your total.
Fascinating that this line is so close. Beer Man, I think you're first up in this one.
You talk about two teams that have somewhat been inconsistent. I think Philadelphia has a little bit of a we clinched our division hangover, whereas Buffalo is like we still have a shot at winning our division. So I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills. I think Philadelphia kind of relaxes a little bit on this one.
It's two teams are awfully similar in a lot of ways. Both have underperformed at times and overperformed at other times. You got the better running game in Buffalo. You've got the better quarterback in Buffalo. You've got home field advantage in Buffalo. I'm taking Buffalo.
Yeah, I guess I'll take Philadelphia because they're a road dog. Look out for an under here in this one. Could be some weather coming up in this one. But, yeah, this is definitely one where this might be a defensive game, but I'll take the dog in a spot like this. Maybe not Mac Daddy Stogie worthy. However, let's go to Sunday Night Football and a team that is definitely Mac Daddy Stogie worthy. The Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams, in San Francisco to face Brock Purdy and the Niners. Niners, 3-point road, 3-point home favorites are the Niners. Big 52.5 total, Beer Man. Are the Bears finally going to finish this season off?
I will take the under. I honestly think this is going to be more of a defensive game. It blows my mind sometimes how Chicago comes out and it's just, let's get through it. And then when the game comes down to the end, then they're like, oh, let's play some ball. I'm going to take Chicago to cover here to potentially so they could win the division. I don't think they want to mess around. I'm amazed how many people I still see online that it's like Chicago, even though they're 2 games up, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. It's I don't know. People are still doubters when Chicago is the 2 seed. I'm going to take Chicago right here.
In the last 10 years, these two teams have gone back and forth in their wins and losses. I don't like the under or the over or the, you said under, right?
I took the under.
Yeah. I like the over in this game. I think both these offenses are pretty potent. Boy, I don't know who to take in the game though. Really, I haven't looked at this game and I'm surprised. I didn't realize that this kind of a marquee matchup here. This is going to be a great one for Sunday night. Both teams 11-4, game in San Francisco. I guess I got to pick one, don't I? And the line is San Francisco -3 still?
Correct.
Oof. Give me the 49ers. Sorry, Beer Man.
You're good.
I love your Bears. I love what they're doing. I just think San Francisco's killing it right now. Brad?
How dare you go against Beer Man? He hasn't done anything to you today.
Caleb Williams, by the way, 3,400 passing yards. Sorry, Brad. I I hate interrupting you. I try so hard not to do it. But what was your prediction early?
35-50 was the over-under, and I put money on the over.
35-50. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you were going to get there maybe this
should.
Probably this week.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Good. Okay, Brad. Sorry. Back to you.
Barring injury, of course. What? I can't say those things. Give me the Bears. I'm going to get three. Yeah. This reeks of a last-second field goal either way. But it will be a high-scoring game, according to the numbers. I'll take the Bears getting the points here. And let's go to Monday Night Football, a game that is looks like the best game of the weekend because it's Monday night, of course. The Atlanta Falcons are at home. Kirk Cousins in the A against Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Rams, 8-point road favorites, 49.5 your total.
Man, I didn't look at either one of these final games, so my apologies. I can't believe the Rams are in third place. Well, they're tied for second, aren't they? Tied for second. Must-win game. Falcons had a great performance last week against them, beat up a pretty bad team. Yeah, give me the Rams.
Right now, the Rams would be the sixth seed.
Mm.
How scary is that?
Wow.
Looked at the NFC playoffs, and it no matter who comes out, it is a gauntlet. I think Seattle's good. I think Chicago's potential. Philadelphia, obviously, last year's Super Bowl winner. San Francisco should be there. L.A. should be there. Green Bay could be there. You know, the four seed, either Carolina or Tampa Bay, is the only team that I don't think puts fear into anybody, and they're at least going to have one game at home. Yeah. I'm surprised that this is not a double-digit game. The only thing I can figure is the fact that Atlanta is at home, but I think the Rams absolutely rout the Falcons in this one. So give me the Rams.
Would you say they're the sixth seed?
Right now they're the sixth seed, yeah.
With a plus 158 point differential on the season and an 11-4 record, a sixth seed. The NFC West has been unbelievable this year.
Yeah, three teams from the NFC West are in.
Okay, Bradley.
Of course I'm going to take the A. Atlanta Falcons at home on a Monday night. Usually a terrible bet, but not on Christmas. Give me the Falcons at home. Getting too many points. Backdoor cover possibilities endless. So there you have it, folks. Our week 17 picks from a handicapping perspective. Okay, guys, here we go. Your Mac Daddy Stogies. Your best bets of the week.
My best bets, I am taking Pittsburgh -3 against Cleveland. I'm taking New Orleans -2.5, and I'm taking Buffalo -1.5.
Go ahead, Brad, start talking. I'll have mine figured out in a second.
Give me your tired, your poor, your weak. Give me the teams that have no chance in anyone's mind. The Jets getting 13.5 against New England. No shot. Give me the Jets. The Colts and Old Man River getting 6.5 against Jacksonville. No shot. Give me the Colts. The Dolphins, they've given up on life. 5.5-point dogs to Tampa. Give me the Dolphins getting the points there. Other games that I am taking against the spread. Give me the Chiefs. I don't care who the quarterback is. Give me 13.5 in a division game. I'll take the Chiefs getting the points. I'll also take the Giants getting 1.5 in the desert against the Raiders. And four games I'm going under on this week. Yes, under. Arizona, Cincinnati, 53.5. Under. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, 33.5. Great googly moogly. Let's go under in Nashville. New Orleans and Tennessee, 39.5. And under, and the Patriots and Jets, 42.5. Those are my Mac Daddy Stogies for the week. Take it away, Dennis.
Yeah, I like that. I like your unders, actually, maybe with the exception of Arizona and Cincinnati. I could see that New England-New York Jets game with a 42-0 final. I mean, it's not out of the question. It's not even really worth. I'll do this for the sake of the podcast. I'm just going to throw out three games. I do, Brad, I'm with you on Kansas City getting 13.5 with such a low total to begin with. That's an awful lot of points in a game that's a home game for Kansas City. And I know we don't know who the quarterback is going to be, but it could be Travis Kelce's final home game. I really just kind of believe that this team has a little bit to play for here. I am going to go with the God. This is awful.
Thanks for joining us.
Give me the Colts.
And until the next
give
time.
Me the Colts. What, Brad, you're interrupting me? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I would just say thanks for joining us. And until the next time, as always.
Hey, give me the Bills over the Eagles. Until next time, you were saying.
Well, who did you have? You had Kansas City, Buffalo. What was your third one?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Oh, yeah. Very nice. I like that one, too. Good job. There you have it, fellas. There you have it, people. Our best bets. Any farting final shots?
My question is this, Brad. As we get down to these final couple of weeks, and I'm not asking you to give me the information. I'm just asking if you've ever compiled the information. In some of these games where neither team is playing for anything and it's high spreads, have you ever compiled stats on those to figure out which direction to go by just out of curiosity?
Games like that, dogs are incredible because if neither team has anything to play for, the dogs do better. And maybe the biggest fallacy in sports gambling is that it means more to this team than it does. Like, Team A is playing to get in the playoffs, and Team B has no reason to live, so to speak. Team B does very well in those spots. Team A, they have a reason to be fighting in this game, and Team B doesn't care. Team B usually covers that point spread more often than not. So, especially late in the season, especially divisional games, there's nothing that the dog wants to do than to ruin their division foe's season. So historically, yeah, the dogs do very well this time of year.
Great answer.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm putting in on the ESPN picks, trying to at least maintain my spot, potentially move up a little bit. So that's the main reason I'm asking there.
Well, this is not me talking. This is not my opinion. History tells us that when it comes to these division matchups last 2 weeks especially, you should not put any faith in, well, this team is going to be trying and the other team's not going to be trying. The other team has no reason to play while this team's got everything on the line. That has nothing to do with it. And that us as square gamblers, sometimes we get hooked into that little kind of theme for the game, and that gets us in trouble, according to the numbers.
As a lot of my bets this week were based on, well, this team needs it more than the other team.
It's so easy, though. It's so easy to do it that way because you just think, yeah, it is. But
well, that's logic.
Yeah.
That's just logic.
Yeah, absolutely. But the numbers say it's completely different, and that's why sports gambling is so difficult in the NFL especially because you get to these games at the end. It's not like the NBA. The NBA, there's teams tanking, obviously. Last third of the season. But in the NFL, the worst teams will still come up in the last couple of weeks and cash you tickets and win games a lot of times.
Final thoughts for me, and I love this season's been a lot, even as a Bengals fan, I will say this, this season's been a lot of fun. There's been so much parity. What do you guys think as far as the Ravens rebounding next year, the Kansas City Chiefs rebounding next year? Did we see a spark of something to come with the Bengals? Their defense has played better these last 3 or 4 weeks. Those are some fascinating storylines to think about as this season winds down.
I think Kansas City needs quite a bit of an overhaul to get back to where they are. Obviously, they have the quarterback. The defense is okay. But offensively, they don't have a lot of pieces, especially if Kelsey's going to retire. I mean, Rashee Rice is okay, but is he a number one on the majority of teams? Cincinnati, to me, they're a great team if Burrow stays healthy. And Baltimore, yeah, they've got the coach. They've got the quarterback. They've got a lot of pieces there, assuming Derrick Henry will stay for another year. I like them to be better. But if you were to tell me right now if I think Cincinnati or Baltimore is going to be a stronger team next year based on this year, I'll take Cincinnati.
I would put the over-under on coaching changes on those three teams at 1.5, and I would go over. I think you're going to see some coaching changes on at least two of these, and maybe Andy Reid leaves too. But Cincinnati, you can pretty much count on. Zach Taylor's not going to be around next year. They can't bring him back next year. They just cannot. And I think Harbaugh is he's been there a long, he's the longest tenured coach in the NFL right now. And that might be wearing a little thin, especially when you got a superstar quarterback in Lamar Jackson, who should have won at least 3 MVPs so far in his career, and yet you have nothing to show for it. So, yeah, I think eventually we're going to see some coaching changes in that triumvirate you guys were talking about.
I can see where Harbaugh is on the hot seat, but I don't think that his job is in jeopardy. And how funny is it that, like, just weeks ago, Mike Tomlin was still being questioned, and here goes Pittsburgh again. Are they a quick and easy out in the playoffs?
I think if they're a quick and easy out, there's going to be a ton of people that are still saying you need more than into the playoffs. You need to make a run in the playoffs. That's the thing that they're asking Tomlin to do. You know, the winning record is cute, but you got to start giving us a shot at, you know, at a championship.
Well, it's a great division. The AFC North is just another one of those divisions this year that failed to live up to expectations, didn't even come close.
Well, injuries had a lot to do with that.
Absolutely.
My thing with Zach Taylor, though, Mike Brown is so loyal to his coaches to a fault. I mean, Marvin Lewis, as great as he was for Cincinnati, he was probably there, you know, 4 or 5 years too long. He'd be on a hot seat. He'd have a great year. They'd give him another couple of years. They'd start calling for his job again. He'd have a great year, and then they'd give him another couple of years. And Mike Brown just doesn't like to fire people. And I think Harbaugh and Andy Reid, it's completely up to them at this stage. I don't think either one will get fired. Whether or not either one is bored and wants a different challenge, that would be the only question.
I think you mistake loyalty for cheapness with the Bengals. I don't think they don't want to fire a coach because they don't have to pay him off. That's what Mike Brown's worried about. He doesn't care about loyalty. He doesn't care about coaches or who's there, who's not there. It's about I'm going to lose more money if I have to fire this guy and hire somebody else. So that's opinion.
I tend to agree with Brad on that.
You could be right. Yeah.
I mean that it factors into it a lot more than what we all want to acknowledge.
What? You guys agree with me on something? Stop the podcast. We've got to. This is there's something wrong. There's something something in the water over there.
One final thought for me. How many games does Patrick Mahomes miss out on next year to start the season?
How old is he? 29?
30.
Give or take. Yeah, something like that.
Is he 30?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how long it will take. I think he doesn't play at all in the preseason.
No.
But I do think he's ready to go by week one. I think this is his first major injury. You know, somebody compared Tom Brady in the year that he tore his ACL is the exact same year that Patrick Mahomes tore his ACL. So could they be on that same path to where it's like there's a couple of down years for Kansas City, they get rebuilt, and then the quarterback is back at prominence, but they're going to struggle for a couple of years. I don't think Mahomes misses any games. It doesn't help that it was late in the year, but I don't think the guy at Green Bay. Why am I blanking?
Jordan
tore his ACL, the defensive player.
Micah Parsons.
Thank you. Good Lord.
Bart Starr. Ray Nitschke.
Bart Starr. I think he'll play every game from here on out. No, Micah Parsons, I think he'll be ready to go by week one, too. It sucks that it's this late in the year, but, you know, I think they're young enough that they're going to rebound quicker than, say, you and I would.
Drake May joins the 4,000 club this week in passing yards. He is fourth behind Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold? No, Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And Jared Goff.
Do you think Stafford is still a shoe-in for the MVP, or do you think somebody else has emerged?
Tough call.
I don't know who would have emerged at this stage is my only concern. I mean, can you give it to Sam Darnold?
Could.
His odds are 100-1, Sam Darnold. Odds to win odds to win the MVP, Matthew Stafford, -230. Drake May, +185. The third choice is Josh Allen, 28-1. That's what kills you right there. 28-1 right there.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's a two-horse race. And yeah, there you go.
When do they award the awards? When are they handed out?
The week of the Super Bowl.
So if the Bills make the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
if we know they're going to the Super Bowl.
I think voting is required at the end of the season.
Right, but okay. The awards are given at yeah. the in the week of the Super Bowl. Right. But you're right, okay. Beerman. They are.
Yeah, that was that's the question I was trying to ask.
My thing would be this: Matt Stafford has never won an MVP. In Drake Mays in his second year, I think Stafford is pretty much a shoe-in at this
yeah.
stage.
Yeah, I think so too.
Lifetime Achievement Award if he gets this, and that'll mean he has won an MVP and a Super Bowl. That'll get him in the Hall of Fame.
Without question.
You got.
And finally, one other question for me. This is the season. The table is set for Josh Allen to win his first Super Bowl and for the Buffalo Bills to win. Do they do it? I mean, Kansas City's out of the way. Baltimore is likely out of the way. Bengals are out of the way.
There's so many teams I like more in the NFC. Yep. That's the part.
But these guys have the experience of playing in the postseason like no other team.
True. Outside of the Rams.
Yes.
I think Buffalo is a strong possibility of going to the Super Bowl. I just don't know that I like, because they're not a great team. Their wide receivers are so-so. Their running game is really good. Their defense is decent. But if the road doesn't have to go through Buffalo, that's where it gets a little iffy.
Mm-hmm.
I say no, Buffalo doesn't win the Super Bowl.
No way.
I can see Buffalo and the Rams. Super Bowl.
AFC is going to be interesting. I think that the NFC, like I said, I think it's a gauntlet. I think of the teams that are there, five of them are a legit threat to make the Super Bowl. But in the AFC, I think it's just as unpredictable in the fact that you have a lot of teams that have not been there. And if Buffalo somehow passes New England and gets the number two seed, then yes, I say Buffalo goes to the Super Bowl. But if they can't somehow pass New England, then no, I'm not going to take Buffalo making the Super Bowl.
Houston. Brad, send everybody home. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, sorry. Thanks so much for joining us. And until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours. Woo.